think you can.
This is Jeff Collier. I'm with the Youngstown State University Oral History Program. Today's date is September the 5th, 1975, and the time is approximately 6:50 p.m. I'm sitting here at the home of Mr. James Letier on his address of 1149 Park Hill Drive in Youngstown, Ohio. And we'll be speaking this evening about the YMCA, his involvement with the YMCA, and also about his involvement with the West Federal YMCA. Mr. Letier, if I could call you Jim, I'd appreciate it. Okay. Jim, could you tell me a little bit about yourself? In conjunction with that, I mean, where you were born and raised, went to grade school, high school, and college, and then a little bit about how you got into the YMCA, if you would.
Okay, well, I was born and raised right here in Youngstown, Ohio, and living on the south side, born and raised right here on the south side. Mm-hmm. And of course, all the local schools here, Monroe, Grant Junior High, which is now an elementary school, mm-hmm. South High School.
When did you graduate from high school?
Graduated from high school in June of 1934. Participated in sports there. Other activities. I was fortunate enough to be able to go away because of two schools, but that was right at the Depression, but because of, I guess, fortunate enough to be participating, as I said, in athletics. Mm-hmm. I played football and college also.
And where did you go to college at?
Wilberforce Force University, Wilberforce, Ohio. It's now known as Central State. There is a Wilberforce also, but mm-hmm. Central State is was the state-operated school at the time, and since has split, and there's two schools. Mm-hmm. And I graduated in June of 1938.
When you graduated, did you come right back to this area?
I came right back to Youngstown. It was still a little difficult getting employment, and I couldn't see myself going away to the Deep South to teach, where I had a couple job offers, but the money was not enticing, and I had never been south, and I had a little fear of going that way. Mm-hmm. So I was employed for a period with the Youngstown Metropolitan Housing Authority until the Westlake housing project was built, and then I got laid off, and then I went with United Engineering, which is now WEAN, and worked there for a period of years until going into the YMCA, and after coming home from service, went to the YMCA in 1946.
When you went with the YMCA, did you start at the West Federal, down at the Central Branch, or where did you start at?
I was hired at the West Federal State Branch YMCA, and of course, as a physical director. Mm-hmm. Of course, with limited funds and limited budgets, and I had to, of course, do like a lot of the branch employees. You were a physical director, boys' work secretary, doctor, janitor.
Jack of all trades.
Jack of all trades. But it was a beautiful experience, and I have no regrets. Mm-hmm.
In conjunction with the YMCA, and you starting with the YMCA after holding various positions after you graduated from college, did you as a boy ever go to the Y?
Yes.
What were your experiences along the lines, if you can relate to me?
Well, I guess the Y program hasn't altered or changed too much over a period of years, and I was became associated with the YMCA at the time of its inception right here in Youngstown, Ohio. Previous to the West Federal Y, it was a community center up there. Mm-hmm. And of course, when the Y took it over, most of the young fellows that had parents that were kind of giving guidance and had hopes for them, mm-hmm. trying to build a future for them, persuade them to, or took them into the Y for membership. Mm-hmm. But she went through the regular old boys clubs. All our physical activities were held at various places. At that time, was a place which was where Youngstown University is located now. Boys News Center, where we used to have to go to participate in gym classes because we didn't have a gymnasium.
At the West Federal?
And that was before the construction of the new building, the present site.
Okay.
And then we had some activities at what they called the Christ Mission.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the completion of the West Federal Street branch, we were very, very fortunate because they had a gym and a pool and, of course, the club rooms and all-around activities for Y membership.
In generalities, could you give dates to any of those instances when, for instance, you first went to the Y or the community club or whatever it was, and also when the Y, the West Federal Branch Y, was built?
West Federal Street YMCA, I think, was completed and dedicated March 1931.
Mm-hmm.
The Y itself West Federal Street Branch came into existence, I think, in the year 1927. The transfer from the Booker T. Washington Settlement to the YMCA. And this is when I became affiliated.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, being young, we could only go maybe once a week, sometimes twice a week, but we had the usual activities and was mostly volunteer help because at the time, I think Mr. Sully Johnson was the first executive director of the Y, and his experience had been with the settlement house. The first regular full-time employee of as an executive secretary was Mr. S.S. Booker, who,
mm-hmm.
and I don't recall, but I think he came here from Baltimore, Maryland.
I think that's right. I think that's what mm-hmm. Dave Fleming told me.
That's right.
Yeah. What types of programs did they have set up? You mentioned it was mostly physical activities. When you would go to the water, what would you get involved in? What would a day be like when you were young and going to the water? You could describe that.
No, after the completion of the West Federal Street Branch, of course you had club groups where you had planned programs for clubs and speakers come in, and of course there was the trying to teach you in a manner or give you some incentive to try to make something out of your life, and of course you had devotions of all kinds and that kind of guidance. There were organized choirs and glee clubs, and there were craft groups, there were dramatic clubs, and where you're into slides, you had something to participate in other than just gym classes or swim classes.
Mm-hmm.
You got some guidance and training in conducting club groups, because they wanted you to participate not only as members but as officers, especially if they figured you had some type of leadership ability. I think they were always a little stricter on the type of discipline or but you just didn't do what you wanted. You did have some guided and sponsored leadership where it was not only fun, but you were learning
mm-hmm.
some of the things of life, where you could, in some way, prepare yourself to give some part of your life back to the community.
Mm-hmm. Did they have leaders' clubs and things such as that down there?
Yes, indeed. You had a leaders' club and various and clubs of all age groups. Starting from 8 years old up, there was always some type of organized club group, where it was a matter, like I said, where YMCA was just not a matter of going to the gym and going to swim.
Mm-hmm. In relation to that, it's kind of interesting that you mentioned you played sports both in high school and college, because in talking with the people that I have in the YMCA, whether it be Tom Franklin or Dick Bennett or Sweet Hunnicky, even my father and yourself now, it seems like most of the people that are involved in the YMCA were very active in athletics in high school and college, and in some way or another that influenced how they became affiliated with Y. Was that the case in point with you? You mentioned that you went into being a physical director. Do you think that all stemmed from the fact that you were so active in sports and things?
It might have had some bearing, but it was always my ambition to work with people. My major, I had a dual major in social administration and education. And I chose to work along those lines. I was always interested, as you said, in athletics, so when the opportunity came, I did accept the position as the physical director. But I think most fellows that have participated in any type of organized athletics, with your competitive training, with your discipline, and you learn to respect others for their abilities and talents. It's just a teaching in life where I think you're ready to dedicate yourself in order to help someone. And, not so much as being an athlete, but if you're inclined that way where you can always persuade others to take advantage of their talents and abilities that they might have in organized sport, whether it be on just on a small scale or if you can so help train them where they can go on and accomplish things. I've had the satisfaction of seeing some young boy and recognizing some of the abilities that he has and talking to them and trying to give them what little training I could and persuading them to go a little further where they really were outstanding in high school and later became outstanding athletes in college. And it just gives you a feeling within. And not only that, but like I said, the other lessons that of life that you learn through this competitive thing in athletics where you do learn to respect the abilities and accomplishments of others.
I certainly agree with you growing up at, with the YMCA myself. That has certainly been the case. There is athletics, of course, teaches you a discipline. And of course, it teaches you, like you said, to always have respect for the other person, especially knowing that they can beat you, you have to respect them.
That's right.
But when you started out, did you say you started in 46 or 47 with the Wilder in the physical department?
I started out in January of 47. I
was. 47. Mm-hmm. Who was at the Y previous to that time? Who's, in other words, whose place did you take or did you go in there with or whatever?
There had been several people that worked in that capacity. I think the oldest and most prominent would be Jim Smith, who really grew up with West Federal Y because from its inception, he was seemingly was a part of the Y.
Mm-hmm.
As a junior high school student, he was a volunteer worker and later as a paid employee. And he had the physical department for quite some time, so he went off to school, and then several other fellows came in. Meredith Matthews is one that I can think of. Parham, I can't think of his first name, was a physical director there. And several others, but Mr. Booker was the only executive director we had previous to, Sully Johnson started, and Mr. Booker came on, and he worked until Mr. James Smith was promoted to be.
So then when you started, you worked in conjunction with Jim Smith?
I worked with Jim Smith. He was the executive director, and I came in as fiscal director.
What types of programs did you initiate when you came in, if any? And how had the Y developed to that point? Of course, you were in the new building, and they had been in the new building for a good 15, 20 years now.
Right.
And I'm sure there was a lot of activity happening at the Y there. But can you think of anything, let me phrase it another way perhaps, what were the types of duties that you had as a physical director, and what things did you help to bring about or institute as physical director when you were there?
I don't think there was any outstanding or new things that I developed into the Y, but some of the things had slipped to the point because for a period of a year or so, they had a breakdown in programming because of staffing, and so there was a case of reorganizing. leaders club so we could have someone to assist in seeing the programs operated and ran. And strong leaders clubs were organized, which they hadn't had for quite some time. Mm-hmm.
That's certainly a very big help.
Right. Tremendous help. And some of the adult activities that were organized, and not only for their enjoyment, but for what leadership and guidance they could give to some of the youth groups. Mm-hmm. Then, I imagine you've heard of Pedro Tomez.
Sure.
Where he moved to town, and long by the time I started in New York, through conversation with him, found that he had had some experiences in boxing and was really interested in trying to develop some fighters in a boxing program for the good that it might do, not only to teach the skills of boxing, but to give the youth some activity, added activity, and keep them off the street. This is where the boxing group was organized, so we persuaded people to get involved in that manner. And he's been going ever since.
That's right. Where does people train now?
They train now at the youth center of the Buckeye Elks on North Avenue, since the West Registry Black Club.
Oh, okay, we're up to 46 or 47 now, and with yourself and Jim Smith. Was Helen Suber there also at that time?
Helen Suber, I started in 47, and Mrs. Suber started, Helen Suber started the work January the 1st, 1947.
Is that right?
Yeah, she was 19 days old.
Little seniority over there.
Right.
Had she worked there previous to that? I thought that she might have been in some other capacity with the YMCA before she started.
Not to my knowledge, no. Okay. I was in and out of town at the time. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we're working there pretty soon.
How was the support as far as the West Federal YMCA from the, well, of course, you know, it all gears around money in terms of why it's turned into a big business, just like any other club or function where you have a lot of people, and you have to be able to pay for the facilities and the people to organize and to run and things like that. But was the why they're supported pretty actively by the adult population in the area? Was it mostly kids?
The greatest number of participants in the program, of course, were the youth. Mm-hmm. This has always been a problem, was always a problem, and I'll say a peculiar thing of the West River Steep Branch. There was always a difficulty in meeting your goals and objectives in the way of raising money. Mm-hmm. And I think it stems from the fact that the outgrowth of the area which it was located, previously being a community center where membership fees were at the various lowest of minimums or no memberships whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And the biggest number of participants were people right in that locale. They had been used to going to the Booker T. Washington settlement when the YMCA started. They started going to the YMCA, and just this thing of paying for a membership when they hadn't been doing so for previous years was just hard to overcome. Then again, we ran right into the period of depression where there just wasn't too much money available.
Is this right after the war, you mean, or early 50s?
The early 30s.
You went right to 30s, okay.
I was built right almost in the heart of the Depression.
I thought you were referring to after the time you started. That's right.
And after the time I started, really and truly, is when a lot of young fellows are just getting on their feet where they had a job, where, mm-hmm. of course, they were starting to buy homes, and they just couldn't see themselves spending money for membership. It was always a little rugged, a little hard, but we managed in some manner and to meet some of our goals, and then, of course, fortunate, always getting contributions through the Needy Boys Fund. And we weren't outstanding, but we always had a little bit.
How about, you know, what would it cost for a membership? Do you happen to remember?
I remember when boys' membership started out as $1.
Mm-hmm.
And adult memberships were $3 to $5. But, like I said, that was a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you had a man in the household that hadn't had steady employment for 2 or 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
But,
did you receive much support from the central branch?
This is one thing, in my experience in the YMCA, I think Youngstown, we've been very, very fortunate out of the relationship between the central and the branch was, the YMCA. It was just like a family. If one had a crust of bread, the other one never went hungry. I'll say it in this manner.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they had an extra dollar, we could almost depend on 50 cents.
Mm-hmm.
And relationships were, and especially in going to conferences and hearing about other branches and the way they struggled and the relationship between the central and the branch wise in many, many cases was very, very poor.
Mm-hmm.
We always had a good rapport and very good relationships. I think this is one thing that kept us going.
Mm-hmm. In terms of that, then, did you do or have any training? Like you mentioned conferences. Of course, conferences for the YMCA are learning experiences, and I'm sure that there's a lot to be learned when you move into the YMCA besides the physical or administrative things. I'm not sure if you took care of those, or if Jim Smith did, or if you worked hand-in-hand. But did the central branch, would you go down there to receive any instruction, or was that something that you had to pick up on your own? Or
most of what you picked up on your own, mm-hmm. in that manner. And just through your association with your fellow employees,
mm-hmm.
getting their ideas on how they run certain programs and stimulated certain things within the program, and just the exchange of ideas. But to actually go down for training sessions, no.
At that time, Paul Davies was the...
Paul Davies was
General
the General Executive Secretary. You mentioned Sweet Heineke. He was the Program and Membership Secretary. And your dad was the Executive Director in the McDonald Branch.
Mm-hmm. How about the, as far as campaigns and things like that went? Did you run your campaigns in conjunction with the Central Y at that time, or were you having your own campaign?
We were having our own campaigns. The only thing that corresponded in conjunction with time. They ran them both at the same time, but they were really separate campaigns. We ran a campaign trying to raise money for West Federal Street YMCA, and of course they had a campaign trying to raise money for the central branch of the YMCA, the Youngstown branch.
Would you use themes like they would also?
We use themes and set up our themes. Same type of, I'll say, membership structure and or team structure in that manner.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone had their goals that they would try to reach. Prizes for those that reached their goals. And
mm-hmm.
The report nights and the campaign dinner and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
Hoping that you met with success.
How successful were you, if you can remember, as far as, I have no conception as to what the budgets were, but you might even remember some of them, I couldn't say, but in terms of the budget versus what you took in, were you, did you achieve 50%, 100%, 25%, do you happen to know that, or remember that?
Percentage-wise, no, I wouldn't say, we were always up there where we had 80 to 90% of our monies.
Mm-hmm.
For the year,
mm-hmm.
and our budget. There was some when we had some fairly good years, and then of course, like I said, there were some years when we had real, real poor times. And like I said, it all hinged on employment, and because there's a lot of things you could depend on as to membership monies that were coming in. If the employment was good, that meant that your dormitory rooms were rented. there were always outside groups that wanted to rent some of your facilities, and yeah, always had a little extra money coming in that manner to keep your money rolling in pretty good. When things were down, employment was bad, and then you suffered along with the rest of the community.
Was the West Federal Branch built as a black lot?
Yes, it was. Built, organized, and structured as a black YMCA. Listening to some of the old records and from the meetings when they were structuring or planning for YMCA, even plans drafted where it would be a one-man operation, which is almost an impossibility.
In conjunction with that, and going a couple steps further, Dave Fleming told me that when I spoke with him, that it was there were both blacks and whites that participated in the program.
Ever since the building was organized, I think because of the makeup of the neighborhood in which the West Federal Street Branch was, that he always had black and white membership in West Federal Street Branch from its very beginning.
How about at the Central Branch at that time? Was it? It was also black and white. I didn't start going to the Y myself until I guess about, because of course we were living in McDonald.
Yeah.
And
very much so, you couldn't get black could not purchase or even be served in the old dining room in the YMCA for quite some.
Up to
what
late
time? Years, even after I was employed at the one.
Up to what time?
We were still having problems in the late 50s.
Is that right? My father moved from the McDonald branch in 57 down to the Central Y and moved into, I think it was in membership initially.
Right.
When he went down there, and of course that was the time that I started going to the Youngstown Y. Up to that time, I never went to the Youngstown Y. I was only 10 years old anyway at that time. And
it was long in there, 54, 55.
Yeah.
When you started having a few that would participate, and they sold a few memberships. My son was one of the first blacks to go to Camp Fitz.
Is that right?
That was about 1956, so I'm about 10 years old.
Mm-hmm. I see your son's 34.
I see 40 years, that was about 1950. About 1950,
okay.
About 10 years old.
As far as, how much longer then did you stay with the Y? You started in 47, how long were you with the Y?
I was with the Y for 19 years, just about 20 years. Lacking a couple months, then 20 years, and I left for one. Last time at Paul Housing Authority.
Any particular reason why you? Well, at that time, when did you go with the Metropolitan Housing Authority?
Went from the YMCA in 1966.
66. Okay. The West Federal Branch was still open at that time. Right?
Yes, it was still open.
It was open until when? 72. 71.
72. 72, about 72.
Have you strongly participated in the Y since you left the YMCA as far as...
I was always active in the summer committee in some capacity at the West Federal Y, and presently I'm a member of one of the committees at the Central Y.
Mm-hmm.
I try to stay active in some way, keep connections. I still work in the membership campaign.
Which you might add, are just getting ready to go.
Yeah,
it's
getting
again.
Ready to go. Tuesday
That's
night
right.
is kickoff dinner. But I was after leaving the Y for a while, I was the chairman of the Committee of Management of the West Federal Street Branch, and was at the time of the closing of the Y, which was a sad note in my life.
Mm-hmm. What do you feel about that, if you would expound a little bit on that?
I still feel that I know it was almost a losing proposition. Business-wise, I would say yes, the Y should have been closed. But the fact that they just got to the place where they just couldn't meet the budgets, they were the building was getting in such a state where it needed some, a lot of major repairs, and that is built beautiful new facility at Central. They felt that could accommodate the membership from West Federal. But by the same token, there's a lot of little fellows that live in the area of West Federal Y, public housing project. Many of those boys have missed a great experience in their life by not being able to participate in some type of Y program. And I say this, not that they wouldn't be accepted at the Central Y, they just don't have the means of buying membership. There's a transportation problem. There's a problem of buying proper gym clothing and swim trunks, which you almost have to have. There's this embarrassment of going to a place where, I say, 8 out of 10 boys at the completion of the gym class, a swim class, or club group can go to the cafeteria and have hot dogs, hamburgers, or what have you. These boys just couldn't afford it. Mm-hmm. So this was my one regret to seeing the Y closed, because I felt that it served in a great, great sense, a big part in the lives of many of youngsters that lived in that area.
Mm-hmm. Of course, in conjunction with that, the McDonald branch was closed before that, but it doesn't seem like the branches, I don't know if it's because of the fact that the Central built their facilities down there, perhaps that even, you know, maybe planned 10 years in advance, who knows, that, you know, the close of the branch, but the branches didn't seem to make it here. I don't know if it was because, well, the finances were the reasons given. Certainly I could not sit in judgment on that, because I don't know all the situations that arose and things like that. But do you know if that has been the case, what you were just talking about, that in fact, some of the kids that could afford memberships perhaps to the Central branch or couldn't get transportation down there haven't gone? Have you ever followed up with any of that?
Oh, there's a lot of them that have gone, a lot of them that have received free membership. Mm-hmm. This is what I'm saying. They would readily be accepted. And of course, still through Central branch, you still have the YMCA, the policy, the Youngstown YMCA, which has been one of our strong points, and again, one of our weak points. I don't think they ever intentionally turn a boy away because of the fact that he doesn't have a membership. They'll make some provisions where he can earn it, or somebody will purchase it for him.
Right.
This is what I'm saying. This is only part of the problem. Mm-hmm. But to participate in a gym class, if you recall, you had to have gym clothing. Mm-hmm. There's many of those little fellows that just wouldn't have the gym clothing. They won't accept, in many of the cases, cutting off old pair of pants to go in the gym and going in your stocking feet. You had to have a gym uniform. Mm-hmm. And then, like I said, other little things become involved because it's a matter of getting there. And those kids don't believe in walking. A lot of them don't believe in walking anymore. So that's bus fare or getting a carpool. So maybe a little difficult in that matter.
That's interesting in one note, and that is, how did you used to get to the Y?
I had to walk.
You probably
from the south side to the north side.
Many more miles, of course,
right.
It would be from West Lakes right there down to downtown.
That's right.
Yeah, like you said, the kids, they're different today. Walking because of transportation has been made so universal, you expect to be transported.
That's right.
Some user lakes like these or something like that.
But like I said, when you think of it strictly as a business proposition, which you have to take under consideration the way money's coming up, it was a losing thing and a sensible thing then chose us for the Y to take advantage of the facility, because there's no doubt about it, Central Y has one of the best facilities in the country.
I certainly would agree with that.
Yeah.
Very, very competent facility.
Very good facilities, very competent staff, and this can be.
How would you say in the years that you were affiliated with the YMCA, changes that you saw were taking place, what were perhaps the most profound changes that took place when you went to Y?
Most, I'll say, profound changes were just the change of, I don't want to say change of attitude. But seemingly the rapid maturity of the youth at a certain stage, or 15, 16 years old, where they feel like they're too grown, too big to participate in some of the activities. Mm-hmm. And just a little too tame for them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a few years back, this just wasn't the case. This kid through high school was just behaving and anxious to participate in great numbers. Now seemingly there's limited numbers to participate in gym classes. And just to go and play at random, yeah, it's okay. Pick up a game of basketball, but a scheduled, supervised gym class, the gym session is broke down to certain things, or a swim class where you get instructions and free swim and periods and this sort of thing. The regulations of time and this type of activity is just like an interest. And club groups just got to be a drag to some. See a change in youth where very, very noticeable, but their attitudes, and of course, you want kids to just think, but total disregard of disrespect for adults. You start smoking a little earlier, participating in other types of what we call that. Adult things. Mm-hmm.
Did you have a pretty strict physical plan when you were down there? When the kids would come in, was the structure rigid enough? It's funny that you bring this up, and this is one of the things Dick Bennett was talking about to me this morning. When the kids would come in, would you have them get ready for a gym class? They would all march out, they would stand on line, they would count off, you would do your exercise and things like that. Would it be the same type of program that they have at for instance, the program that I knew at the YMCA? Is that the same type of physical program?
Usually that type of program. Mm-hmm. And this was not a matter of... there's some type of lesson you're trying to teach youngsters through all your activities. Mm-hmm. Like you said, just the outright respect for each other as to their abilities. You had to have some type of discipline so that everybody could hear and understand what you're trying to do. You went through exercises or different drills to try to evaluate their abilities and how they have progressed physically, or determines. You get some light on determination of the type of leadership ability that certain ones have. Mm-hmm. Give them an opportunity to lead properly.
Mm-hmm.
You go through drills in order to teach basketball, volleyball, a structure of team play, not individual thing, a team thing. Because most of your activities have to be structured this way. One, you can have this individual participate.
Mm-hmm.
You had great numbers, so you had to try to teach kids to play together. You knew always that there was going to be somebody outstanding in some areas, an outstanding dribbler, an outstanding shooter, exceptionally agile kid that could play volleyball or tumble or whatever the case might be. This happens. But you tried to teach him to utilize his abilities and his talent, and some means try to assist or help a kid that was a little weaker than you. Because the next activity you went to, it might be a thing where the two of you had to work together in order to make some achievement.
Mm-hmm.
So there was always something behind the instruction. And I just thought, you called roll, and had them do exercises, run laps, and that would do different drills. You could break up and play little games of all kinds of games.
Sure, the kickball.
Right. But you tried to have some purpose behind it.
When you were instructing at the West Branch, West Federal Branch, but they want to have a good time. And you said that you see now that kids, as they grow older, 15, 16, they fall away from the life. That was not the case when you started out there?
No. A lot of these activities, and I say from 16 to...
Was it really?
Right. In fact, a lot of young fellows that I meet now, the first, the most active group I had was a group that was in the 14-year-old class. Mm-hmm. And I look upon them as being one of my outstanding groups that I ever had, because the close association that we developed boys in that age, just going to my high school, a lot of them just started, and they're going with girls and what have you. Mm-hmm. And so through club groups, this is another thing, to talking and planning on future life, and the mutual respect for the opposite sex, and a little sex talk that, which was a rarity back in those days, you didn't just openly discuss, but
yes.
This is a means of preparing them for life, and some kind of religious training. All these things we got to come back to. I can say now, of course, Black history is a prominent thing in the last few years. This is one of the things you got in the Branch line, so that you would be proud of. With all the things and obstacles seemingly that was thrown in your life, you should be proud of your heritage and try to make something of yourself. Because you had a lot of obstacles to overcome. You had to make preparations for it. And a lot of this you got that you would never get, say, in a situation like that, a simple one. It could take a little more time because you didn't have 100 kids. You might only have 25, 30 kids in a group. It could take some time. We had Negro history classes.
You taught Black history at the Y?
That's time. There's some man, yeah. They mentioned that there was some great men in history. You knew that they'd have something to shoot for, and you know that all is not lost in life. They made it really. Like I said, some of these boys that I had, seen grow and start their own family. Stayed right here in the community and made something out of themselves in the community. Others have gone away and done remarkably well. It makes you feel good. Makes you feel that all your time has no wisdom.
Yeah, again, just relating other instances and other stories of people that I've spoken with about the YMCA, and every one of them has said the same thing, and that is probably the nicest thing is when you're walking down the street and somebody says, "Hey, Mr. McClure, how you doing? Didn't you used to work at the Y?" And or else you find or follow somebody and see that they are successful, and there's a amount of pride that's well within you or something like that, because you had something to do with that, and that is a gratifying, very gratifying thing. I guess that's why some people stay with the Y, and the money's
right.
Not the best.
That's right.
Because
right.
It sure isn't the best.
That's right.
There's a lot of other jobs that you can go to.
Like I said, there's a lot of opportunities and jobs that might have been available, but. Lord knows, like you say, you stand in line to most lines of social work, you never get rich, right?
That's for sure.
But for the experiences and the lives that you can touch and point out as examples, maybe of some of your teachings, that's just something you can be compensated with dollars.
What I wanted to ask the questions about was the closing of the West Federal Y. And did you have anything to do with, you said you served on several committees at the West Federal Y, even after you left. After you left, see if I can remember, who was the next person that moved in there? Was it Tom Franklin, was it, or was it? Who were the people that followed you, if I might ask?
I think, let's see.
What could have been Tom Franklin? Tom came in 70 about.
Tom came in he worked in the flipping department and then went into the executive director. And I believe Tom took over right after us. They had several people that worked on part-time basis. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of, can't even recall, it hadn't been that long.
This would have been 67, 68, 69, yeah. I guess. I know Tom wasn't in there because I graduated with Tom.
Tom came, was doing some work. Like I said, they had a lot of part-time guys. Mm-hmm. Kid by the name of Bill Ellis. That's a question you should ask me this evening.
Okay, I will.
And there were several others. Uh-huh. Tom did come in as worked in the flipping department, and then he took over when Mr. Smith died as the executive director. And then he got super active in that capacity.
Yes.
So the closing of
mm-hmm. From the time that you left Hawaii and up until the time that the West Federal closed, like I said, it was about 6 years that elapsed. 6 years of time. And during the course of that time, what committees were you on? And how did you remain active in the water?
I was on the board of committee of management, I just called.
Okay.
The,
who were some of the other people on that board besides, for instance, Jim Smith, or I guess I would assume Dave Fleming was on it.
Dave Fleming.
Maybe Hugh Frost.
He was not a member. Mr. Graham Perry, Mr. Booker Clark. James Alexander, Mr. Roosevelt Kearney, Mr. Bob Biggies Sr., of course, Mr. Honeycutt met with us regular, Bill Gutnick Jr. participated with us. Thomas Young.
Pretty good task committee.
Yeah, we had about 20 committee persons. Most of them had been participants through West Federal Speedway in some manner, had connections mostly through most of their adult life.
Mm-hmm. When was it first brought up to close the West Federal one? Was this something that took place, was it over the course of years?
There was some discussion over a period of a couple of years, maybe 3 years. We kept trying various things, and like I said, business-like, if you're going to, that's the way you're going to think about it, we've got to be almost a losing proposition. And with a limited staff, there was only so much you could do. This is super. I guess one of the rarities in YMCA was the executive director. And,
that's right, she was. I think
part-time help in other capacities mm-hmm. and physical and boys work. You've got to be able to pass them and you couldn't keep things moving the way you want them to move. Like you said, we're not meeting our budget so far as raising money is concerned. So it was, in all, I guess it was a smart thing to do to close it and try to persuade others.
Was there anything in particular that you tried to, whether it be fundraising or whatever, to continue the existence of the West Federal branch?
We tried several things and were very fortunate in raising $2,000. Rekindled some of the interest, but it wasn't a lasting thing where we could
get the monies every year or anything.
Money,
like that.
Yeah. But maybe. You know, there's always somebody ready to jump on the bandwagon. We don't want to see the wire closed. And it's a matter of a special campaign. Yeah, you raised a little money, but YMCA or any type of program of this nature is where you'd have to be dependent on the public to make annual contributions somewhere where you keep this thing going. And in the inflationary years that we've had and the
last few years where prices are going up on everything, repairs, mm-hmm. supplies, trying to entice someone to take employment, which you could offer to pay. And mm-hmm. it really got to be a hassle. And you're almost forced to have to go.
And working so closely then with on the Board of Management and everything, how do you feel, as a final question, that the closing of the West Federal Branch and the those people there being taken into the Central Branch has worked out? Do you think it's been a good shift for them? It's been an easy shift, a hard shift? Do you foresee it's going to be good for everybody in the future? What are your feelings in that area?
I have a dismixed feeling, and I haven't given them much thought or consideration in that manner, because I don't think there's any difficulty in making the shift. Because, like I said, for the last 10 or 12 years, there's been no problem with black women and having some association or membership mm-hmm. or affiliation with YMCA. There wasn't a great number of participating in the way of committees like, but there's always a few even on committees. The changeover wasn't too great in that manner. So I guess it's more or less a sentimental thing. We just hate to see that building closed. Mm-hmm. And as I'm aforementioned, just the hundreds of kids that live in that area that I feel that will never participate in the program. The ready accessibility of West Federal right there, and they're practically in their backyard, they would participate.
Whatever, now of course that's a mission building now.
Yeah.
They still have the pool in there.
None of that is in use. It's more or less a and I feel that they do a tremendous service. It's a mission where they try to give lodging and feed people that are down and out of transit. Mm-hmm. Come through, no place to stay, very limited in money, and see that they have a place to sleep for a couple nights, and mm-hmm. know that they can get some meals, and they can have a place to worship and change clothes, and they keep clothes around there where, if necessary, they can give clothes and whatnot.
Sort of like Salvation Army type
thing. Right, it's a mission type of thing. They were formerly located down on South Avenue and one time down on East Federal Street. They gave assistance to, and like I said, to those who were down on down on their luck mm-hmm. going through.
Too bad. I didn't ask anybody that question, and I wasn't really sure what the. I knew that there was a mission, but I really didn't know.
We were a little skeptical at first because of the turning over the Y to that type of mission, because of the fact that, I'll just say, vicious rumors that just the flop house was drunk, and the Abbey was derelicts, but this is not the case. Very well managed and kept. They have to depend strictly on volunteer contributions, and they've done remarkably well in this manner. They keep a good supply of food, they keep clean bedding.
Do they use those dorm rooms upstairs?
They use the dorm rooms that are there to sleep, and they'll sleep men, women, or families. So they've, it's proved to be a service.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time to sit and talk with me about your experience and your knowledge about the YMCA.
Like I said, it's been a tremendous experience to me, and something I wouldn't trade for anything else in the world. The relationships, the contact, and the associations in the YMCA with both the membership and the fellow workers has been just a cherished part of my life.
Funny thing is that I guess most people that are in the YMCA business feel it.
That's right. I think so. It's just something that rubs off on mm-hmm. you, and this, so you get in that rut and you just keep on plugging and hoping you can do some good for someone.
Thanks again.
You're welcome. It's been a real pleasure.